Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. I don't know what time it is over in other countries, but whatever time it is there, that's what time it is. Today is February the 11th, 2023, the shortest month of the year. Yes, it is the shortest month of the year. And just so happens to be Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. I'm seeing a lot of stuff coming across television, over radio. Some businesses are putting up pictures and posters. It'll last for, 28 days? And then it's gone. Yeah, that's what happens. But we have a good show today for you, thanks to my right hand, my co-host, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. We got some things we're going to talk about that occurred earlier this week. A lot of stuff happened this week in politics, of course, in sports, and then it's going to continue more tomorrow in sports. And so we're going to touch on a lot of different things. And also next week is Valentine's Day. Yes, it's Valentine's Day. We got a lot of days, don't we? A lot of holidays throughout the year. A lot of new ones, too. But, yeah, we're going to talk about that today, and I want to open up the mic, which is already open, to the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Hey, Janet.
Yeah, you got to put those horns into that. Boom, boom. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
28 days, but 29 for leap year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is 29 for leap year. You know, I kind of wonder, I mean, why do we have leap year, you know? Why do we have daylight? Well, I know why we have daylight saving, so we can have longer days during the summer, right? That's why they created that, I think. I may be wrong, but I doubt it. I'm going to be like Charles Barkley. I may be wrong, but I doubt it. But that's probably why they have daylight savings time. You can have longer days.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and spend your money. Go to the beach. Party. Have fun during the summer. Gas prices are going to go up during the summer, so we want you on the road during the daylight, right? Because it don't get dark until about 8:30. It don't get dark until about 8:30. But now it gets dark about 6 during the winter months. So
yeah, definitely.
Smart thinking. Good way of programming. Hey, I got to bring in another co-host here. I'm glad he's here with us. From the West Coast, an author, a comedian, an actor, really an entrepreneur also, the one, the only, Mr. Tymon Shane.
I'm also sick. How you doing, Jan? Yes, I went out to Pine Top, Arizona, and one of them damn Trumpsters gave me a breathing on my ass, all them no teeth having suckers out there in Arizona.
It's not COVID, is it?
It was rural Arizona.
It's not COVID, is it?
Rural.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
I'm boosted. I'm boosted. I don't need no vaccine.
Janet was boosted too now. Yeah, she said that she was boosted. You know, when Janet wasn't here for a moment, she was boosted. She contacted me. Well, it took a minute for me to find out what happened, but she had been boosted and still got it. It's going to the store.
Oh, you can get it, but like you can get it. But the thing is, you're not going to end up in the hospital.
You're not going to be put on a ventilator is what you're saying. You're not that far.
I was only in the hospital for a day and a half.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I mean, it's for people to believe that ain't nothing out there and somebody's trying to get you. But you couldn't go to school. I was just telling a friend of mine, they didn't even allow you nowhere near school as a kid. If you were not, you didn't get your tetanus shots, your polio shots, and everything else. And these people killed me. They let a dude, an orange man, come in and within a 4-year period ruin their life. Like somebody's really going to spend their time trying to get you. Do we have cameras everywhere? You damn right we do. Cause for what? Because people are out there being idiots. They're just committing crimes at will. The stupidest things in the world. So guess what we got to do?
Yeah.
Because we can't trust you to have no common sense. We got to put cameras up everywhere. And, yeah, we got to watch you.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting because it is true. No, go ahead, Jen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say, if they couldn't kill you one way, they tried to kill you another by telling you not to take shots and everything. You know, when you get sick, you're out for the count, you know. So people believe them.
I mean, what are we supposed to do? It hit my sister and scared the hell out of me. Yeah, I mean, so I know that, you know, you also got to know, like I said, I don't know, as we get older, you're supposed to get a little wiser. That means change the way you eat. You know, them big old burgers that you see on television? You know, if you if you in your late 50s, 60s, you might as well, hey, your stomach is sitting there telling you, don't you put that in there. Don't even think about it. Yeah, it might look good, but you better not go down there. And I ain't trying to, people, oh, man, I love McDonald's. I said, keep on going down there. They have a thing called GERD. Acid reflux is eventually going to get your ass, and you're going to stop. They don't tell you all that. When you get older, you're supposed to get a little wiser, not dumber.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to get wiser, make better decisions. and not let somebody just take advantage of you so easily. You read a book,
right?
You know
like, I want to turn in more into that, because if I start, what's going to happen? We're going to get off course. But you got a good point, because I ran across this video, and seriously, I mean, I'm glad that you said that, Tommy, because I ran across this video. It was on Facebook, I think, but it's a group called GangsterHolistics.com, and this guy speaks about where people are trying to eat healthy, right? Okay, folks are saying, you know, don't eat the meat. You look at where grocery prices are going up and everything and all that type of stuff. But so they say, eat plant-based. Don't eat processed foods. But the thing is now, I'm hearing some kind of echo here. I don't know where it's coming from. Okay, so there's some kind of feedback, I think. But the thing is, what was interesting that he said is that they're not talking about the plant, per se. They're talking about the processing plant. Because if you think about it, when you go to fast foods like Burger King and everything, they have the Impossible Burger. It's supposed to be plant-based. But that is still processed, right? I found that kind of interesting. It's still processed.
Well.
Everything, but it's not. But if you think about it, if you go to a grocery store, they say, know this, know that. But it's still a form of processed food. And is there something that we don't know?
I mean, Mike, if you are on the mailing list of WebMD or health, I think it's another health-based deal, they will send people information on the better way to eat your food. And the processed food they're talking about is a lot of your lunch meats. A lot of your foods that are, you know, that you put on the Subway sandwich or whatever, they're telling you can eat it, but don't eat it on a regular basis, that you're eating it 5 days a week.
Like processed cheese and processed meats. Yeah, I understand that. Right.
Exactly. What it'll do to your body.
But see, the whole thing is that what brought to my attention was that the fact that everything is processed to a certain extent. Yeah, to a certain extent.
Not everything is. No, but see, the thing is, like, if they told you to eat grass-fed beef, now, they're telling you that, I mean, one, that's what they should have been doing a long time ago, but they used to lock the cows in these, with their heads locked in this thing, to where all
in
they
the stalls.
Ate was corn. They would eat in the stalls, and all they ate was corn. When they should just say, with your chickens. Your chickens should have been in an area to where they can, you know,
free range.
Not where you got them locked up, some situation.
Right, it's called free range, right.
You know,
it's called free range, right?
Isn't it called free range?
Yeah, let them just eat naturally, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and also that's what happens when you get rid of the small farmer. The small farmer, you know, was able to give you your food, you know exactly what's going on. But now that you're, you know, if you're eating on a larger space, that means something's going to get missed, because you're rushing everything, because you got this whole situation set up that I got to feed all these people. So what do? Your animals are going to have more chemicals in them. The food's going to have more chemicals. We wanted to be the food of the nation. And we, you know, we waste more food than most countries bring in.
True. I see it every day. Trust me. I work at Walmart. I don't work in the food department, but I go over there and
that
look.
Food to the homeless.
Well, I have to say this, though. I look at, I'm serious, it just boggles my mind when I look at where there are things there. Of course, everything has an expiration date. There are some items, there's a product that Walmart has under a different name, and it does have a short lifespan, for lack of a better term, of how long it could be on the shelf, or shelf span. And it might be a week. And that product don't move. People aren't buying it. So what happens? The employees come and pull it off the shelf, I said, what do you guys do with it? Throw it away. I said, really? They said, yeah.
Yeah.
They said, this product
is moving.
And you know
why
they throw it
away,
Mike? They even dropped, now I have to say this. They even dropped the prices on this product, right? They even dropped it like a buck or two. And it still hasn't been moving as much as I guess they would hope for it to. And they throw it away.
Well, some things, though, some things they do give to food banks, because I've seen food come from Walmart, Target, Kroger, different stores, even Sprouts or Whole Foods. They do give a lot of food to the food banks. That's how people
now,
are
I haven't heard
able
that.
To eat.
I haven't heard that through the people I know.
Yeah.
I do hear that a lot of that product, though, goes back to the farmers, and they feed the pigs, because pigs eat everything. We know that.
Yeah, but now
that they'll take
now,
that
as
product.
Far as, small farmers, though, Mike, feed their pigs, especially black farmers. People wondered how did black people eat pork for so long. A lot of them because they knew what they were feeding their hogs. They fed their hogs sweet potatoes. They fed them apple. They fed
mm-hmm.
them, you know, they fed them the right grains and stuff. So you didn't get a
right.
hog that was feeding slop. They were
right.
all eating very healthy. So that way the meat tastes better. You know.
That's
so
right.
it's like
right.
where the large farms,
raised.
They're not doing that.
Right. I've had
mm-hmm.
two hogs raised, and I made sure they had feed and, like you said, fruit and vegetables, but no slop. Because
no.
I wanted to make sure the meat was good and lean.
Yep.
But like I just said, I got word that some of the product is sent back to farmers, okay, to feed. Now, it's not saying that it's slop, per se, because it's not like, you know, I mean, it's stuff that probably expired. What I'm saying, okay, can I just finish this, though? It might have been an expiration date on the shelf, but it does not mean it's not edible for a hog, right? And I don't know how fast they get it back out there to or back to the farmers to feed their pigs. But I've heard this from many sources that, yeah, some of that product that doesn't sell on the shelf is sent back out, okay, as long as it's not exposed to the heat or, you know, a certain temperature or whatever. Because they do put it inside refrigerated trucks, ship it back out to certain providers, and then it's used as feed. As you just said, Janet, it's feed. Nothing goes to waste in corporate America whatsoever.
Right.
Nothing
but
goes
I do
to
know,
waste.
I do know, Michael, if you check the food banks in Georgia or any place else, you will
mm-hmm.
find out that's where they get the food from to feed the people.
Okay.
It's not expired food, but it's close to expiration.
No, that's right. They cannot give them expired because they do that here in California. They don't do that. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what's great is when they let a chef go in
yeah.
and take that so-called cheap food and put some meals together. You wouldn't know the difference
mm-hmm.
where that food came from.
Mm-hmm.
When you say,
no.
when you go, they took a chef who went, because people say, oh, I don't eat at the 99 cents store. I don't buy myself. They took a chef, went down there. He bought all the vegetables and everything from the 99-cent store and hooked that food up. And they said, oh, it's weak. And they said, let them know where you got it from. So all that came from the 99-cent store.
That's right.
If you know how to cook, if you know how to cook and you know what you're buying, you can put it together, you know. A lot of people
okay.
think, oh, I can't eat that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to – I'm sorry. I threw that in there real quick. I do want to mention a few things, and then we're going to get to our itinerary. We're going to talk about
uh-huh.
the State of the Union, what President Biden said. And what happened that night was just like, wow. We'll get in that in a minute, but I just want to throw a couple of other side stories in here,
mm-hmm.
which kind of surprised me this week because, you know, we always try to – keep up with what's happening in the now. Roseanne Barr, she's back. Roseanne Barr, y'all remember her. Okay.
Back doing what?
Huh? Okay, well, let me read the article just briefly. This says here, the title of the article is, quote, "It was a witch burning." Kind of sounds like a former president we had, right? She says, quote, "It was a witch burning. Roseanne may forgive Hollywood, but she'll never forget." Wow. So here's the article. Almost 5 years have passed since Roseanne Barr fired off a late-night tweet that changed her life, bring about her fall from grace, and the cancellation of the groundbreaking show that made her into one of TV's most electric personalities. The years since that controversy have been relatively quiet. But that calm is ebbing as Barr plots her comeback. Quote, "What a privilege it is for you to have me here this evening, ladies and gentlemen," Barr said, flashing a mischievous smile as she greeted a capacity audience last month inside the Colon Theater in Houston. Quote, "And of course, I mean that from the bottom of my heart." Then she added a pointed question. "Has anyone else here been fired recently?" Those moments kick off Roseanne Barr Cancel This, a new stand-up special premiering Monday on Fox Nation. Fox? No. Tell me it isn't so. That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's not part of the article. But debuting the same day on the streaming service is Who is Roseanne Barr?, a documentary examining her stormy career. The special is the latest chapter in the saga of the former domestic goddess whose acid-tipped humor and volcanic personality have been a lightning rod since 1988 when Roseanne, about a blue-collar family facing harsh economic times, debuted on ABC, becoming an instant hit and lasting 9 seasons. Okay, so I'm going to skip part of that and let you guys chime in. Okay, so Roseanne is going to have a show again. ABC canceled her because of something that she tweeted, right? Remember that? And they renamed the show called The Conners, her family.
Right.
She was upset about that. We all know that. Okay, so Roseanne, let's look at this. Colin Kaepernick has been blackballed from the NFL since we're talking about Super Bowl later on the show. He's been blackballed. No one will pick him up because he took a knee. Roseanne, your fat ass stood on a baseball mound or a field and you didn't sing. You screamed the national anthem and then you spat on the ground. Look, you know, sooner or later, karma's a bitch. Something will come back. And with your antics of that and what you did after that, yes, ABC was like, we don't want to be affiliated with you. But Fox is like, come on. Jump on board. What y'all think about this here?
You said it all.
I mean, I think that what she did was worse than taking a knee by far.
Well, Mike, in white America, you're not going to get that. I mean, and you got to remember, Trump orchestrated all of this. Trump was already, I mean, remember, you had the Me Too movement. You had, all these other things going on. And, you know, they were talking this wokeness stuff. They were all these things. And people want to be able to say, well, you can't tell me what to say. I have a First Amendment right. You do. But the problem with the First Amendment right and you having freedom, which is always, I always say to people, freedom ain't for everybody. But that means you're free to be an idiot. And that means you're free to say something stupid that sets somebody off. And then when somebody pulls a gun on you or threatens to whoop your ass, now we got a whole other problem on our hands. Okay, which is the reason why your prisons are full of people who made stupid decisions. And so Roseanne Barr, She's a typical white girl, grew up wherever she was. Oh, I should be able to say whatever I want, do whatever I want. Like, no, you don't. Because that's how we got that. I mean, that's how humanity goes out the window. The one thing the pandemic exposed the inequality in our society. And that makes a lot of things, which is the reason why fascism is able to rise. Fascism rises by the people who follow. Like you hear people say, we don't want no socialism. Well, damn it, guess what? What do you think when we help people out? That's socialism. You can't have capital. You can't have capitalism without socialism, because everybody's
right.
Not going to be riding that plane. So you can't do all these things. Then you want to just say whatever you want. It showed that we got mental issues. And Roseanne Barr is a rich ass crazy white woman that was able to do what she wanted, but when she stuck her foot in her mouth and didn't get mad. Now what if one of them black women or somebody would have met her outside our house and decided to whoop her ass? Then you think she's wrong. You say, oh, they're wrong. They whooped her ass. Yeah, they did. It's like with Black Lives Matter. All those things that you saw on the wall, those were white groups who were coming by, and one of the black girls called them and said, hey, don't do that. They don't think we did that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they don't want people protesting. You got racism. Yeah, it's racism, but don't say nothing. When somebody exposes the racism, they get all pissed off because you can't, you know, the facts are the facts. That's why Marjorie Taylor Greene, Roseanne Barr is the Marjorie Taylor Greene of the world. Because everybody thinks somebody's taking something from them or abusing them, but it's okay for them to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say to folks. We ain't the ones going out there killing people because they're Muslim or because they're just saying stuff because they're Jewish. Black people got enough problems on their hands.
Jennifer, the mic is yours. You have a response to that?
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. Well, I agree with Hyman. You know, I just saw a movie that was Eddie Murphy, and the name of the movie was You People. And it was about a Jewish family and a black Muslim family. And this young couple, you know, it's a good movie, but it shows you how people don't really understand each other. And like Tommy was saying about the socialism and capitalism, you see all that in that movie. But in the end, they do come together as one.
Okay. Now I've seen the post of the movie and everything on social media, and the few clips, a lot of folks said, "Oh, I can't wait to see it! I can't wait! This should be funny and everything." I had a little chuckle out of a few things, and it wasn't the lines; it was just the expressions that I saw because you know Eddie Murphy can give you a look, you know, so his look kind of made me laugh, but the lines didn't make me laugh. So I'm wondering about the storyline. So I will definitely take a look at it.
It's a good storyline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's my take on Roseanne Barr. Next, I want to, and I'm trying to move fast because there was something I wanted to definitely play. And you guys, please bear with me. Okay, so let me go into something else. A music icon left us this week. Wow. It blew me away because, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, Dionne Warwick was shit. I'm sorry. I love me some Dionne Warwick. My mom used to play her all the time. And when she made that song called Message to Michael, I went crazy as a kid. I was like, she's saying my name. Oh, girl, thank you, thank you. She could have said Tony, Robert, Edward, Frank, even Tommy. But she said Michael. And that's when I fell in love with Dionne Warwick. But then I started reading album credits. Who wrote this? Who produced this? Who performed this? And I came across the name, Burt Bacharach. I never knew who the man was when I was a kid. the Burt Bacharach, I mean, what was he, 94?
Yeah.
When he died, yes.
Mm-hmm. When he died.
But he's got a lot of credits for a lot of movies and a lot of songs, not just for Dionne Warwick, but a lot of other artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just unbelievable the things, you know, that he wrote.
Exactly. And I had one track here. I'm going to find this track, but I'm going to tell you guys something. I'll find the track before the show is over, and I'm going to play it before the show is over. But a lot of people don't know Stephanie Mills, who is still touring. I'm a friend of hers on social media. I wish I could get her on the show, you know, but I don't know, maybe one day, maybe not. But Burt Bacharach produced her first album. I believe it was her very first. If not the first, I think it was the second, but her first album. And you can Google it and pull it up. Burt Bacharach, and you have to remember his partner, Hal Davis, okay? But the stuff he did for Stephanie, you would kind of like have that feel for like a Broadway play type stuff. You know what I mean? But it's some good stuff. I almost said shit, but it's some good stuff. Seriously, excuse me, I'm sorry. But it's really good. This was when Stephanie was a young girl. Very young girl. I think she had just finished doing The Wiz, you know, the Broadway play The Wiz, because she was the first. And, of course, The Wiz went on to be a national tour with other individuals playing the role of Dorothy. One was a young lady named Wren Woods, who actually went to school with one of my brothers. But it became popular, right? But that was the first time I ever heard the name. Stephanie Mills was due to The Wiz, and then when she did her album, and then I come to find out it was Burt Bacharach, you know. Dionne Warwick, Stephanie Mills, Barbara Streisand, I mean, the list goes on and on, who really loved this man's writing, his direction, his production, and everything. And like you said, the many movies that he, and TV shows that he wrote and composed stuff for, is legendary. It was just really a shocker for me, you know. Because
even Patti LaBelle, Michael, don't forget her.
Mm-hmm.
You did songs for her.
You go to the greats. You know it's going to be a great song. You know it has. It's going to have some leverage, you know, because I mean that's what he did. Wow. So we lost another. It's sad that we're losing a lot of these legendary artists, not just the young artists, which pretty much the young ones are over some, you know, in the rap field, over, you know, Jealousy, the shootings over each of one of them, when they all have had a future ahead of them. But to lose the legends also at the same time, within the same time period, that's scary to me. You follow me? It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
No, it really is. It's sad and scary. Now, condolences to the family, definitely. I want to get to a lighter note here, because what happened was, and I said again, and I want to say again, thanks to our guest last week, which was St. James, writer, producer, recording artist, musician, and also Corey D. Williams, writer, producer, musician, and a health fitness coach. In fact, I ran into Corey last night, and what was so funny last night, we were talking, he was looking for a certain product, and we didn't have that particular one, but there was something that he said, I probably could use this, right? And when he left the store, a particular song came over the PA. It was a song called MacArthur's Park. You guys remember that song?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Timon, do you remember MacArthur's part? Okay, Timon might have stepped away. Okay, song was called MacArthur's Park. You guys are old enough to know it. It came out in the 1970s, but it was a song that Richard Harrison sung. But Donna Summers remade it, and it became a major hit for Donna Summers. And what I heard last night was the Donna Summers version. All right, mm-hmm. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're talking about songwriting, this and that and the other. And the thing is, what I realized when I heard that song and I listened to it, I'm like, a song really don't have to make a lot of damn sense to be a hit. Have you ever listened to the words of MacArthur's Park?
I'm looking at him.
Song? Okay. I want you to pull it. Okay, well, Janet, you looking it up. Because I want to recite some words.
I'm looking at the lyrics. I'm looking at the lyrics
okay,
now.
Okay, the lyrics. Okay. So I'm gonna recite for you the actual chorus, not the verse, but the chorus of this song. And you tell me if you understand this.
No.
Here we go. MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark, all the sweet green icings flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain, and I don't think that I can take it, because it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again. Oh, no. Do I have to say it again?
No, do the next one, Michael.
I mean, wow, that was a hit. What did you say, Jen? I'm sorry.
I said do the next one. I'll do it. I recall the yellow cotton dress foaming like a wave on the ground beneath your knees, the birds like tender babies in your hands, and the old men playing Chinese checkers by the trees. I mean, mm-hmm. It does, the song doesn't make any sense, but it sounds good.
It just blew me away.
Well,
where,
I was
going to
say, I'd rather hear is Do You Know the Way to San Jose. Yeah.
Now, I like that one.
But you understand my point is that, you know, some songs don't have to make sense, and they can be a hit.
But they got a great beat to them, Mike. They're like, yeah, they don't have to have them make a lot of sense. They got a great, you know, the music is good. They got a nice, they may have
okay.
a great drum line or
okay.
Bass line.
Okay, so here's my second one. Here's my second one. I'm going to make this short and sweet. It's 6:38, so I'm trying to keep within the time frame. Another song I thought had some of the craziest lyrics I ever heard, and it was a major hit, y'all. And surprisingly enough, and Janet, you know this, what we consider it being done by the Brothers Johnson, it was actually done by somebody else first. Okay? And it's a song called Strawberry Letter 23 by the Brothers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And people were arguing about, it ain't called Strawberry Letter 23. You hear him say in the song, Strawberry Letter 22. No, this was the 23rd letter. That's the story in the background. But check out these lyrics. Hello, my love. I heard a kiss from you. Red magic satin playing near. Two. All through the morning rain I gave, the sun doesn't shine. Rainbows and waterfalls run through my mind. In the garden I see west purple shower bells and tea, orange birds and river cousins dressed in green. Pretty music I hear, so happy and loud. Blue flowers echo from a cherry cloud. What the hell does that mean?
Sound like somebody on drugs. They was high when they wrote that line.
Yeah.
Feel sunshine, sparkle, pink and blue. Playgrounds will laugh. Ha, ha, ha. No, that's not part of the song. I just did that. Playgrounds will laugh if you try to ask, well, is it cool? Is it cool? If you arrive and don't see me, I'm going to be with my baby. I'm free, flying in our arms over the sea. Same window, yellow candy screen, see speakers of kite with velvet roses digging freedom flight. A present from you, strawberry letter 22. The music plays, I sit in for a few. That was a major hit.
I still would rather hear raindrops keep falling on my head.
I'm just saying that was, you know,
all right. Be dead.
I just have to say, I mean, that was,
back then, you know, he had to do 7 takes.
Oh, really?
But you know, I want to do this, though, before we go further. Wait a minute. You said 7 takes for that song?
Yeah. Burt Bacharach made the dude do, what's the guy's name that did that song?
Oh, yeah.
He won,
I read that
thing. He won Grammys for it. And Burt won an Oscar for it. But
for the movie, which was from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Butch Cassidy. Yeah, mm-hmm. But he had to do 7 takes in studio before they finally said, okay, that's the one we want. That's the one we want. 6 or 7.
Okay, let me see if I can pull that up. But what I want to do real quick, let's take a quick music break and listen to the first song Dionne Warwick did with Burt Bacharach. How about that? While I try to pull up a couple of more for you guys. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show on the Michael Gay Network with my co-host Janet Davis, also Time and Ship. Here's Dionne Warwick.
Accept me for
welcome back to TMGS. That's Dionne Warwick. The first song she recorded with the late, great Mr. Burt Bacharach. Y'all remember that, right? Us older folks should. But what's so funny to me is that, you know, who was it? Was it Eve? She did a remake of that back in the 90s. And a lot of young folks think it's brand new. I'm like, no, that's a remake. From way back in the 60s. And that's classic songwriting. That's classic songwriting. Those are stories. And I'm sure that well, Janet, you know, I mean, you've heard it time and you've heard those type of songs. What I'm hearing now is just crap on the radio.
Right.
And with all due respect now, there are still some great songwriters out there, young and older, but we don't hear it on the radio anymore. You have to look for it. You have to search for it. You have to go to Spotify. You got to go to iHeart and find these artists. You got to search for them. And they're spending money out of their pocket doing what they love. Go ahead, Tyler.
You know what? There are certain years I just stick with. 60s, 70s, 80s, some 90s. And some stuff happened in the early 2000s. But you know what? Like if you told me, you know, some people might say, oh, I love The Weeknd. I never heard of that dude. Okay? Still rather listen to I'd go listen to some R. Kelly hell before I listen to Homeboy. They can't hold. We don't even have good old, I mean, if they did have down-home R&B, we don't know where they at. You got white cats winning everything, even in our own deal. I don't even listen to Beyonce. Mm-hmm. She can put up whatever she wants. I still listen to Aretha Franklin before I listen to Beyonce. You know, I'm sorry. I listen to Anita Baker, Sade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. No. You know, I guess if they're out there, that's great. Maybe it's not for me. You know, maybe they don't sing for me. But my thing is they ain't singing about nothing. You know, we used to write. The reason why you love what you love, those people wrote about life. Those people that they were back then, 16, 17, the Smokey Robinsons and the Stevie Wonders and everything that was going on. Well, they wrote about life. They wrote about shooting, killing, and all. Now, you already in bed with the woman. They ain't left you nothing for the imagination. You know? I mean, there ain't no stylistic. What are stylistics at? You ain't got no stylistic guys out there, you know, not Boyz II Men back in the day. I even liked, you know, Guy. You know, we ain't got no Gap bands no more, man. We ain't got no Parliament Funkadelics no more. These guys are writing stuff. That's why it's, like, hard for me, you know, even the rap. I listen to old rap. I mean, old hip-hop. You know, I don't listen to this new stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they say Kendrick Lamar. I'm still going to listen to Tupac and Too Short and, you know, Ice Cube and those guys, Dre. I mean, they stay with it. I still have to listen to, you know, Snoop Dogg and all them, you know. I'm just saying, because my rap, I'm just saying, you know, go down the line. Yeah. That's my thought.
So let's do this. Let's go to the political aspect, and we're going to come back to the music because as we're talking, I'm grabbing a lot of these songs. And trust me, I'm going to play you a San Jose, okay? So, wow. The State of the Union Address. Now, I'm going to tell you, I listened to it. I watched some of it. And some of the things that Biden said were on point. Some things were questionable in my mind. But what really got me was, was I watching Congress or was I watching Parliament? You tell me. Because, you know, in England, the Parliament, they sit up there and they, no, you lie. That's happening here in America now all of a sudden. Ever since Barack Obama, the people who are the representatives of the constituents across this country feel like they can go ahead and heckle the President of the United States. Regardless, it doesn't matter, but they can heckle the President of the United States now. They got a pass. Isn't there, what is the word? Decorum? Yeah, I want to ask this first. Isn't there something like what they call decorum where, you know, if you don't like it, keep your mouth shut. This is his address. You're not in the office meeting with him privately to share what you like or dislike. This is being broadcast to the nation, and better yet, the world. And you want to sit up here and show your ass in disagreement. Because, see, the reason why I say that is that one thing we know for a fact, the Supreme Court justices can't say nothing. They cannot, you know, yell out anything. They can't make certain gestures or, you know, whatever, or question anything. They just sit there. They have to be in attendance. And that's always been the rule forever. But what makes these other individuals feel like they can do whatever they want to, or say what they want to, or heckle whenever they want to in this manner? You have a speaker who comes on after what the president says. You have an individual which you picked, Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas now, which, you know, a former president, Clinton was governor. And she comes on and comes up with this BS, which I did not like. I listened to her all the way through. But how is it where now all of a sudden they're able to just voice their opinion during a live broadcast of an address to interrupt the president? To, you know, you have your platforms to do whatever you want to. Why do it then and there? Timon, what's your thoughts?
Mike, it was a setup.
Thank you.
What Biden did, he and that's why McCarthy was telling them, no, don't do this. He set them up. He wanted them to be exposed.
Played them like a fiddle.
Show you how stupid these people are, to let you know who the folks are who are doing, who are causing y'all problems in your life. The Marjorie Taylor Greens and everybody, they wanted her exposed to show the insaneness of what's going on, okay? That's why they did it. The dudes set them up. He said it, they want to take your Social Security and run it at the end of sunset. And then they lie, all of them. It's acting, you know, like, you're lucky they didn't pull the drum out, you know. Boom, 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 you know. And I was there, and he just set them up. See, that's you can say what you want about Biden being old, but that's just being wise. So you can show what everybody's doing and show who the fools are. Fools got exposed.
And he had proof, video, and he also had proof from the pamphlet that got circulated. Yeah, he played them like a fiddle.
That's why I say, if you don't believe me, go risk. Because you got to understand, Mike, Republicans don't care about policy. Not these Republicans. There are some that do. But the ones that you see out, the Matt Gaetz, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, and all this stuff, everything they do is conspiracy theory, and it's just to cause noise. You got people out there that still believe that Trump is president.
You think that's true.
That's because they keep passing this type of information around to each other, to folks, and they're taking advantage of them. That's all it is. There's nothing you can do about it, though, because they're going to believe what they want. They don't care about facts, you know. But let them, you know, like you told, go after, you hate the thing, go after that Obamacare.
And can I say something?
Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Biden gave a playbook for the Democrats for the next 2 years to run on because of what happened at the State of the Union and the rebuttal from Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Let's look at this fact check here. Okay. Here's a fact check of some of the claims from Biden and the Republican response by Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Cutting the deficit. Biden claimed his administration cut the federal deficit by more than $1.7 trillion. Quote, in the last 2 years, my administration has cut the deficit by more than $1.7 trillion, the largest deficit reduction in American history. Facts first. Biden's boast leaves out important context. It is true that the federal deficit fell by $1.7 trillion under Biden in the 2021 and 2022 fiscal years, including a record $1.4 trillion drop in 2022. But it is highly questionable how much credit Biden deserves for this reduction. Biden did not mention that the primary reason the deficit fell, oh, wait a minute, what the heck? It disappeared. Okay, now it's back. Deserves for the credit. Biden did not mention that the primary reason the deficit fell so substantially was that it had skyrocketed to a record high under then-President Donald Trump in 2020 because of bipartisan emergency pandemic relief spending, then fell as expected when the spending expired as planned. Independent analysts say Biden's own actions, including his laws and executive orders, have had the overall effect of adding to current and projected future deficits, not reducing those deficits. Dan White, Senior Director of Economic Research at Moody's Analytics, an economics firm whose assessments Biden has repeatedly cited during his presidency, told CNN's Mac Egan in October, quote, on net, policies of the administration have increased the deficit, not reduced it. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, an advocate group, wrote in September that Biden's actions will add more than $4.8 trillion to deficits from 2021 through 2031, or $2.5 trillion if you don't count the American Rescue Plan pandemic relief bill of 2021. There's more there. So what's your thoughts on that? They're saying it's going to go up.
But it did go up with the Trump administration for three. They raised the deficit three times. And that's why we were in the mess that we were in, because it got raised three times during the Trump administration. They didn't say that either.
But you know what else? You know, Dan, one thing I don't worry about, and you can't play into it, is worrying about the deficit. You know, you should only worry about what's in front of you, okay? And one thing's for sure, okay, without them helping, because remember, we're a consumer-driven society to buy, okay? So if we don't, but what they don't have control over, and what you should see, Mike, is the corporations. Corporations can raise their prices at any time they feel like it and blame it on whatever, whether it be gas. That's not under Biden. Biden has no control over oil prices.
Right.
Biden has no control over the, you know, the when everything gets backed up and we have problems with, you know, getting things to us, you know. We had all these log jams of getting product to the different. So he's got no control over that. Okay, you can say if you want and try to blame him if you want, but it ain't going to get you nowhere. It's stupid. You know, a lot of things that he can't, because if they didn't do it, if they had not helped those people out, okay, with their businesses, with money in their pocket, and I don't care how that, now, what is that, Mike? That's called socialism. When the pandemic happened, what happened during the pandemic, socialism. Now, they can get mad all they want, but they didn't turn that money down. And guess what they did?
Yeah.
They put it back into the American economy.
Right.
You've got to spend. If we don't spend, we don't survive. That's why they shove stuff down your throat every day. That's why they want you to go get credit cards. That's why they want you, because they want you to spend. You know, and people, oh, they're doing this and doing that, and they're taking this and they're taking that. They did it to themselves. and a lot of your local governments, it's like buying, you know, housing is the rate on a house is 6%, 6-7% now. Okay. Only problem is the price of a home is not coming down. You know why?
Right.
Because we have a shortage of houses, and they won't. They every time a space opens up, instead of putting a house in there, they'll put an apartment up. Because if you put the apartment, if you put the house in there, the people claim it'll bring down the value of their home.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they got. They're putting their value in, you know, in their equity.
So I get at least 15 calls a day for someone wanting to buy my house, thinking I'm stupid and going to give it away to them, you know, so they can turn around and sell it for what it's really worth.
Right. And then again, you won't be able to live nowhere else because you can't get that price no more for what you paid for.
That's right. That's right. Because
right,
when I bought this house, it was $176,000, and now it's almost $400,000. And they
and
just
not to tell Janet's business,
to,
she's got a beautiful corner lot. I'm not trying to tell you business, but she's got a beautiful corner lot, and people love corner lots. That's your corner, right? So that means you have
a neighbor on
to
the corner, but I got a lot of yard, front, back, side.
Front and back, yeah,
right.
Janet, how many rooms you got?
Yeah.
How many rooms you got?
3 bedrooms, 2 baths, living room, dining room, breakfast area, kitchen.
Okay. Now, that same home, you said the house is worth how much? $450,000?
Yeah, about $400,000.
About $450,000. That same home in L.A. is probably $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 million. Oh, easily. Easily.
Depending on what city you're in. If you were in anywhere right now, especially like say you had that house near the new stadium that they built for the Los Angeles Rams, and that was a predominantly black neighborhood, that house would be worth anywhere from $700,000 to close to $1 million. Now, if you're out in the valley, it might be a little bit more. If you go farther out, though, say to Fontana or way out towards Victor vehicles, then it goes back down to forming. So anything, as we noticed, anything away from the downtown area or where it looks like where they built up everything, you know, anything away from that is cheaper. Anything closest to it, it has more value, and they're going to charge you more. That's all it does. Everything has a value on it. And it's you know, I mean, even where I'm at in the valley right now in California, my old house that I used to have, it's worth probably about $650,000. It's a 2-bedroom, 1 full bath, 1 half, swimming pool in the back with a 2-car garage. Runs easily $600,000 to $700,000. Because everybody wants a house right now. And there's a great article in the New York Times that you know, talked about, you know, how they're, you know, people are paying cash for houses. They're walking in, and they've got a lot of foreigners. Or you got a lot of major corporations, which I think is really jacked up, is that, you know, corporations will come in and buy up these homes and then rent them out for Airbnb. So the average American can't buy a home. You know how cold that is? You're going to dog me out like that. I go to buy a house, knowing clearly that you're going in buying whole blocks of homes and setting them up as rental property. So the average of that whole thing about the American dream, gone. Now, if you really want to buy a house, you know, a lot of people say, hey, go buy a couple of acres of land out in the desert somewhere and put you some container homes up there, and then you can, you know, buy a couple of acres. So who wants to live way out, you know, in the desert?
Right.
Ain't close to nothing. You know. Ain't nothing else.
Well, I'm in a prime area. I'm close to everything. From you know, it wasn't like that when I first moved out here, but it is like that now. You know. Within a mile,
she's up in she's north of Atlanta, and you know, of course the suburbs of Atlanta is building more. But still, again, people, certain folks want to live downtown. So that's how come a lot of your old, ancient, historical buildings are becoming lofts and apartments. You know, those used to be businesses. You know, there used to be cotton factories inside of some of those businesses, right? I mean, I remember when my dad came down here years ago, these are old, ancient brick buildings, you know, huge. And
now,
something
now,
that's like...
I bet you those are handcraft homes.
Well, some of them that are like a 1,000-square-foot loft, they want $2,000 for you. It's a loft. You know, it's like, really? You know, it's ridiculous. I'm kind of like, you know, teasing about 1,000-square-foot, but still, they're super small. But
yeah,
paying
some of them are less than 1,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're super small, but people are paying that big money to live downtown. But then when you look at, like, where Janet lives in her area, I remember when that city of Woodstock only had one streetlight back in the 80s.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you would go down this one road, and it was nothing but trees on both sides. This was back in the 80s. You go down that road now, nothing but businesses. I know a family right now that had property on that particular street now. They had land there. McDonald's wanted to buy it from them. They said no. They worked out a deal with McDonald's where McDonald's said, okay, we'll lease it. A 50-year contract. Think about that. A 50-year agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That family's getting paid. And I know it ain't been no 50 years, but I'm talking about back in the 80s.
Right.
But McDonald's has that store there. Janet, you know which McDonald's, that 1950s McDonald's
is. I think I know the people you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that that's what they offered them, that they're going to have that McDonald's have a 1950 theme, they're like, we ain't selling. We can negotiate. And that's what they're getting, a paycheck. Very interesting. Time is 7:08. We're trying to go through a lot of these topics here, and I definitely want to put a couple of more songs in here before we get out of here. Let me see. What's our next one? Oh, we got to get to Super Bowl. We got to get to Valentine's. Let's do Valentine's first. I know Valentine's is next week. Next what? Tuesday? Okay. And Super Bowl is Sunday. But this is Valentine's Day weekend. And I see people shopping big time, buying up all kinds of gifts. Okay, so what does Valentine's mean to you guys at this point in your lives? I remember as a kid, I used to buy the candy necklaces and give it to the little girlfriend at school. And then I remember, you know, you had a relationship with someone, you bought them some chocolates or some, you know, flowers and everything. Chocolates and flowers don't do anymore. You got to buy something like, you know, some Apple AirPods or an Apple Watch or something. It's like Christmas in February. You got to give a gift.
Who does that, Mike?
Huh?
Who does that?
What you say?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah.
I see people every day. I saw a guy just yesterday. He bought his girlfriend an Apple Watch. And I ain't talking about the $199 one. I'm talking about the $500 one. I've seen a few other folks with this guy. He bought the watch. And then he came back and bought her some AirPods Pros. And I'm like, is it her birthday? He said, no, it's a Valentine's gift. I'm like, okay. She got some candy and some flowers from me. He's
no,
I did
my Valentine gift ahead of time. I went to 1-800-Flowers. And hopefully on Valentine's, my girl works from home. So hopefully on Valentine's Day, while she's waiting, you know, to the home. Mm-hmm. She will get a bouquet of red roses, and she'll get a box of chocolate. It's the you know, it's the thought that counts.
As they say.
I've heard all these bougie black folks who tell me, oh, no, I don't do that. You better not send me no flowers. Flowers die. I don't want no flowers. Oh, okay. You know, some people do want all that and everything. Now, my girl makes great money, six figures, okay? She makes good money. But it's the thought, because she ain't one. She says, I'm a unicorn, because they ain't met nobody like me. She says, I ain't met no brother to do what you do, you know? And I said, oh, really? So, yeah. I said, okay. You know, but I told her, this is just who I am. So, yeah, like you said, it's the thought that counts. And I put
it should be,
you know, that thought into it, you know, to do that, you know, and I did it actually right after I came back from doing I had all these comedy gigs set up, but in the process, that's the cool thing about, like, we had went to see the Bob Marley exhibit, you know, so she didn't have a pretty good February already. You know, you had the Bob Marley exhibit, you guys, and then she'll get that, you know, so.
Well,
but
that's a commitment.
Because I don't ask enough.
Right. I have to give you props because, unfortunately, and what I'm saying is that I see this every day. I see where, you know, where you said the thought of something nice, simple, account, but now it's becoming a material thing. It's in some folks' eyes, I'm not going to say everybody, it's like Christmas. It's like you expect a certain gift on Valentine's, you know, and you're not even married. Your boyfriend and girlfriend, and you're spending all this type of money, you know. It just kind of boggles my mind, you know. I mean, this guy spent about $1,000, close to $1,000. I'm like, okay, interesting. You know, interesting. But if you have the money, okay, fine. Do whatever you want to with your money. What's your thoughts, Janet, on that?
Well, I don't have a mate, but at my children, they really take care of me when the holidays come around. I get good baskets with wine and cheese and meat and crackers and clothes, a little bit of everything, money, you know, so I look forward to it. I don't have to give anything out, but I receive.
Mm-hmm. And that's cool because you've given as a mother, you know, a grandmother and everything. So that's understandable. But I'm looking at these young folks going all out, you know, as I said earlier in the show, all these different holidays where it becomes spin, spin, spin. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute, slow down. You know, you got to think about this, rethink this in a sense. What is the significance of it? Okay, so we have a little more time. Well, we got a lot of time. We got about 45 minutes left on the show. We're going to get to the Super Bowl, but I definitely want to do this one thing, Timon. I did promise you something, right?
What's that?
You said you wanted to hear your song.
Yes.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we'll be right back, and wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm still waiting for it to upload. I apologize. We're going to play his song in a moment, but it's still uploading. Should be done shortly. Let me see if I can refresh and see if it got back up on the board.
Well,
board,
Michael, while you're doing all that, can I say something? Yeah.
Of course.
Well, since the balloon went down over the Atlantic Ocean, you know that the military had to shoot down an unidentified object in Alaska. And then just before we got on the show, about an hour before, Canada had to shoot something down. So what is this now? Everybody is flooding our airspace with objects.
Well, here's the thing I said, and I'm sure Timon has a response to this. You know, I felt like, you know, we're at war. We are at war, in my opinion. We're at war but we're going through certain, I don't know, we're going through Ukraine because we're at war with Russia. But the playing field is in Ukraine, and that's where it started. And now it's going to be in the skies. And then you look at China. We're pretty much at war with China in a sense. Some folks may disagree with what I'm saying, but we are. You know, and I don't mean a physical war, United States and everything, but it's just a, you understand my point? It's like, you know, okay, so you're going to give them weapons to fight us, so we're going to do this. So all these spy things that are up in the air and up in our airspace, it's all preparation for something to happen. They're not doing it as a practice or a threat. It's for something to happen. When you have a person like Putin in power, ex-KGB, that's his thought process. And it's sad that the people of Russia don't see what he's actually putting together. But in my opinion, I think that we're like at a, what is the term they use, a cold war? Nothing really blasting off yet, but it's building to that point. And it's going to always be on somebody else's soil first before it gets to a bigger confrontation. Simon, what's your thoughts?
Don't nobody want no war.
I know they don't. I know they don't, but I think that but I'm saying that I don't put it past an individual like Putin or anybody else that, you know, no, I don't believe they do, but I don't put it past them or past him.
Right. But the reason why I'm saying that is, okay, Putin might be doing what he's doing, but one, he ain't going to win. And when it's all said and done, all right, he's going to screw himself. This man thinks that he's going to take Russia back to what it used to be.
It ain't gonna happen.
So he might as well get over himself. And I mean, those people in Ukraine have been independent for many years. Same with Crimea, and he's tried to go back because you know, Gorbachev cut that deal with Reagan.
Reagan, right?
You can't. There's no way. You know, he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Well, guess what? All the people, what happened was they ended up getting all that privacy because communism could not battle against capitalism. So, so when privatization came in, when they started privatizing everything, people started having problems, right? And some people, and so now, where you at now? So even if they do, nobody wants to, man, because if you push that button, you go anybody shoot anything. Like what they're doing right now in Ukraine, that's straight conventional war. Ain't no nuclear anything.
Mm-mm.
Because if you do it, okay, if he gets, say he dropped one nuclear bomb, remember, you got Poland.
We're
going
to wipe
them
off the face. We're going to wipe them off the face of Earth.
Right there. You got Finland, Poland, Sweden. You got all these, and that's Europe. But you cannot go down that road. He is not that stupid. He's not going to win.
Well, I'm not saying it would be a nuclear war.
I'm not saying you. Mike, hear me out. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying that whatever it looks like he's trying to create, because you asked me a question, I'm not saying you did. That's what you think. I'm saying there is not going to be any war. Okay, they can blow up bombs and everything else. Then they can keep firing until they want to. But the one thing they're not going to do, they're not going nuclear. Because if they do, everything, there's a price to pay if you do it. You know how many countries, Russia, will come after Russia if they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Can I say this real quick? Is that when I said a bigger confrontation, I didn't mean nuclear. I meant a bigger confrontation on other in other areas where it's going to be, you know, not just Ukraine. It's going to be other areas. There's going to always be fighting and wars. There's wars always going on across this globe. There's always a war going on. It'll just be bigger confrontations on different playing fields.
Like what?
I'm not saying that someone's going to press a button, but there's going to be more confrontation. Now, based on what's happening with the United States assisting with providing certain weapons and everything, hopefully Putin will back down. And just like, you know, he had to do when, well, not him, but when Russia had to do when they went up against Afghanistan, right? You remember that? They couldn't deal with those mountains and everything and the terrain. And didn't know all where all these caves were. They didn't do their research and everything. And maybe that's what they're trying to do is just, you know, throw up a threat to the United States and call our bluff. But I do believe that there will still be more conflict in different regions, you know, on different playing fields.
I kind of disagree with that because I don't think Putin is going to back down. You know, someone's going to have to take him out because his pride has got the best of him. He's another to Trump. That's his playbook, Putin, you know. So that's the main reason why Finland joined NATO, because they know they needed that extra protection, because after he got through with Ukraine, he was going to try to get over there to them.
Okay. Let's take a quick music break. Go ahead.
I was going to say he already is messed up to where he one of his bombs landed in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, that's why they let them know, hey, man, you come close, we going to want you to, you know, who's next? If you're going after them, Poland thinks that they that close. They think, oh, you're going to come after us next?
Mm-hmm.
That's why
right.
That's why they're saying all those different things about, you know, hey, man, why don't y'all leave people alone? Let these countries live their life, but they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that because there's all this stuff that's going on, you know. So,
they
yeah.
should have stopped Putin
when he first went into Crimea.
They should have stopped him but they didn't. So he felt like he could take it all.
And the question to me is like, what do you need to take over this place for? What is your reason? Why do you have to have control of more and more? Greed?
The Soviet Union the way it was. He wanted it back
was. Right. Okay. He wants it where, you know, right. But what is it going to benefit him and the rest of the country that he already runs? What is the benefit for him, you know, of controlling that particular landmass or that particular country? What does he benefit? What does he see
wondering. A bigger superpower. He wants the Soviet Union back the way it was before, a superpower.
A bigger superpower for what? To do what? See what I'm saying? For what? I got this country now. Okay, but still, and again, you still have these other countries close by you. If you were to say that, okay, well, we control this much, we got this many people, for what? What is the long-term goal that he has? You understand my question?
We have to
But like she said, the long term goal is that if I can control, remember, Ukraine is a major agricultural.
Okay.
We need a lot of grain, wheat, and soybean. So that's one of the reasons that they want that.
Okay.
Right now, like if you look at China, why is China in Africa? Because China's agriculture is shitty.
Mm-hmm.
They have a horrible, and so they're in Africa trying to take advantage of what Africa has to offer. You know, that's why they're offering all that money to that. That's what they do. They go dump money in those countries, and then you end up stuck paying back all these damn loans, and China takes advantage of your country.
Yeah.
And you spend the rest of your days trying to pay them back. They don't care nothing about Africa, but, you know, but Africa, you know, you got a lot of major dictators there who also allow other countries to come in and offer all they heads of state money, and they starve their own damn people.
Right.
So, you know.
That's very true.
Everybody's selling out everybody. Ain't no loyalty. Everybody want to be rich. Everybody wants that money.
Wow. Everybody, there's no loyalty. They just want royalty and greed. Let's take a quick music break. We'll be right back. We're going to get into the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow. Wow. They say there's going to be a bunch of historic things going on. Let me hear what you guys' thoughts are on it. We'll be right back. Here's Dion Ward. Time, and here's your jam.
Parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. With a dream in your heart, you never without a friend, you pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? Never were a parking cars and pumps and gas.
Simon, there's your jam, bro.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
I love that song. I remember as a kid when I first heard that song, and I was like, where the hell is San Jose? And I remember the first time on the freeway I saw the sign that said San Jose. I said, there it is. It's San Jose. So I was really excited to see that sign. I didn't stop, but I was like, at least I saw the sign, the exit sign to San Jose. Wow.
Anyway, I'm going to play one more song later on before the show is over with. I know the time is now 7:31. I want you guys to hear this track by Stephanie Mills, also that Mr. Burt Bacharach wrote and produced for her. So I'll do that later on. Super Bowl Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. You know, that's what they would say, you know, for events. You guys will catch on. But, okay, history is supposed to be made tomorrow. In fact, it will be made because there will be the first two black quarterbacks to go against each other in Super Bowl 57. Wow. And, by the way, two brothers will be playing against each other on rival teams. A lot of folks were saying this is a setup. That this, I'm not going to say a lot. Some folks said, they set it up. The NFL set this up with this whole thing. Everything. Because based on the play that happened in the, what was the AFC championship game between the Bengals and the Chiefs, of that out-of-bounds hit for that penalty to happen for the Chiefs to move forward and kick the field goal and win the game. Okay, to move on. What's your guys' thoughts about the whole conspiracy theory of it being a setup, the whole thing about it being historic? What's your thoughts about it? And who are you rooting for?
Well, Mike, I just, you know, like I said, I think that, you know, one, it's historic. You know, but, you know, we've had, it's, if you think about it, Mike, it's really stupid that the fact that a brother had to prove he could be a quarterback. A brother had to, you know, you had to show as a black man you can run a football. You had to show that you could run a base, you could play baseball. But the thing was that, you know, they knew that eventually white folks wanted to get ahead so they could make some money off of it. The only reason why they even allowed brothers to even play baseball, or it was not about anything historic. They wanted to get out in front of it so they could make money off of it. Mm-hmm. And that way they control it. And so when you look at what's going on right today with these two guys, remember Doug Williams was the first black quarterback. And he beat out the great John. They called him John Wayne in Denver. They called him the Duke, Mr. John
Elway. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, now you got your guy. You know, you got these two guys. You got a biracial kid, and you got homeboy. Still, both black. But the fact that we even have to say that we had to even prove ourselves to be able to play this sport. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. That's what you
Well, when you say
do.
Prove ourselves, right, we had to prove ourselves, and then, but,
I mean, even
you know, you go
today,
back
I mean,
to,
think about
to well, well, when you,
you
go back
about,
to the days of the
about,
Jim Browns, you, you well, what I just want to say is that you go back to the days of Jim Browns and everything, that he was the mule, he was the workhorse, and basically black athletes in football were looked at, okay, well, you know, that's a guy who can run the ball. We did not get positions like quarterback. We did not get positions like
right.
wide receivers in the earlier days. Correct. And definitely not coaching.
So, well, see, that's because, like Ibram Kendi said in his book, Stamped from the Beginning, you had idealism, you had, you had racialism, but you had a thing where they wanted to be, every time something needed to be changed, they wanted to be the ones to change it. So the fact that they made a brother go through all of that to become a quarterback because they never met anything, they knew. But, Mike, they wanted to control it. And so now, you know how much they're Mahomes' contract is, try $500 million. That boy's got a $500 million contract. And that's because he won the Super Bowl. When he won the Super Bowl, he was still under, before he won the Super Bowl, he was still under his regular contract, which was a rookie contract. He went to Super Bowl. Not only did they get great, but they traded Tariq Hill, which was his go-to guy, but they got draft picks from Tariq Hill, and he paid, and they were able to up his contract to $500 million. And that's the going price now. Nobody's getting that kind of money. But Mahomes, mm-hmm. if he wins again, they going to get all their money back. That's how well the football team is doing. Black athletes make up 75% of the NFL. They make up 80% of the NBA.
Thank
and that's
you.
Why these guys are making the money that they're making, what they've brought to the game. They've already, our culture, black culture, is in the NFL. The fist pumps, the chest pumps, the flips, the dances, hell, all our music is all black culture. Rock and roll, rhythm and blues, you know, jazz, everything. Black folks.
That's why,
you know,
that's
what,
why it took so many years.
But they made
that's
sure
why,
they were out in front to control it. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's why it took so many years for blacks to be able to break into baseball, football, basketball, boxing, tennis, racing cars. No matter what sport we go into, we end up being superstars, you know? So they tried to keep you, they kept us suppressed for as long as they could. Now,
well, they saw that
you know,
they could make, you know, that's why they knew that they could make money. They wanted to get ahead of it so they can control
right.
it. That's why they ain't trying
right.
to have no black football owners. Now, you got some minor. You have one full, Michael Jordan, I think, is the only full owner of the Charlotte. And then you have a minority owner that's a sister that's over in Milwaukee. But you ain't got
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you ain't got nobody in football. They can be general managers.
Exactly.
And you have minor owners in baseball. But what
right.
you're seeing, we've had to prove what we can do. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's like,
now let me say this real quick. Is that
read?
Where I'm glad that you I'm glad you brought that up because right. The NFL, for people who don't know, it's not the stock market, okay? You don't have investment. In fact, the only team that is owned by the people is the Green Bay Packers. That's the only team, correct? In the NFL.
Yeah.
Simon, I know you know that. The only team. But all these other teams are privately owned. They have their own club. It's just like, what's his name, Sterling, who used to own the Clippers. The other owners voted him or pushed him to sell the team. It's a private club. And then when you look at the money, like you just said, that players making, folks are like, well, I don't watch football anymore. These guys are making all this damn money and everything. Think about the money that the owners are making. You think $500
right.
million dollars for so many years is a lot of money? Yeah, to you it is. But think about the owner, the millions he's making and beyond. Better yet,
right.
probably in billions within a certain amount of seasons. So what's your thoughts about
and
that?
You gotta,
I mean,
you got to understand, Mike, one thing that people don't talk about is that the money will never be enough. Because remember, you're taking guys out of the ghetto who are not used to having this type of money. You got guys that will blow $100 million like it's nothing, especially today.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million is a lot of money when you try to live that lifestyle. Lifestyle will make you
mm-hmm.
broke. And you got a lot of dudes who are suffering. I mean, how many guys do we know in the NBA who've blown $120 million, $300 million, that money's gone, or they get ripped off. by a relative or someone, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or an investment, a poor
because
investment.
Somebody,
right.
Yeah, I mean, same in the music business. You know this, in the music business. Look what happened to, what was the girl group that Pebbles took advantage of?
TLC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you think
with
about
TLC,
it, I mean, she not only got, she got part of their royalty money too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, so when you see, yes, we're making money. Yes, we've made a lot of progress. There's still a lot of work to be done just because you're still, I mean, if you had to look at the progress, you keep weighing the progress because you see all these superstars, but just like you said, look how much money the owner's making. The owner knew it, and that's mm-hmm. why he created and put it out. It's all perspective on how you choose to look at it, how you're trying to live. Like, I got friends, they ain't paying attention to none of that. They don't care nothing about any type of racial anything. They walk around with blinders on. They keep.
You know, it gets me that where people, again, you know, they complain about the star athlete making this type of money. And keep in mind, that's spread out through whatever the deal is, a 10-year deal or this and the other. But they're not the only person on the field. You got other players, you got a coaching staff, you got all kinds of support groups, you know, for that team. The owner has to pay. Again, question, how much money is this privately owned business, the owner, is making? Don't question the player, question the owner. Don't get mad at the player for getting what he can get.
Well,
you mad about the money
like,
that they're
like,
making,
you know,
get mad at the owner.
You know, like they're mad at Kyrie, you know, look what Kyrie Irving did. Kyrie Irving, you know, on one hand, every team that he's been on, basically, it's been blown up. Okay, so now he's in Detroit. He's in Dallas. They say, oh, you know, and one of the guys that I was talking to, he said, man, the brother got to get his money, man. It doesn't matter. He's not great to play with. You don't take away from his talent. But he's not a Steph Curry. He's not going to bring a team together to win. He won one ring, and he's never been able to get another one. And he's not going to get one without. Guys like that who do that type of stuff, just run from team to team, no. You know, Kevin Durant should have stayed. If Kevin Durant had stayed with Golden State, he probably would have four rings right now.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, LeBron James did.
He followed somebody.
LeBron James went from
That's
team to team. He went from Cleveland to Miami to
point.
L.A.
Good point. And that's what I'm saying. He got one more ring. You know, they don't do – I mean, and so now, you know, it ain't about rings no more. He's going to go into the sunset. Now, I don't know how long he's planning on playing. But all this jump from team to team and putting these super teams together and all this stuff, that shit don't always work. You know,
yeah, we learned that from the Lakers when they had when the Lakers tried that years back. You remember that? They brought in who was it? Charles Barkley, Gary Payton, a bunch of others.
Oh,
you remember
Carl
that
Malone.
When they put them
they
in?
Brought in Carl Malone. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Carl Malone. Yeah, mm-hmm. It didn't work.
No, and mind you, it only worked once for LeBron. Over there, he got one with Miami, he got one with Cleveland, and then he got one with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go put teams in, whereas Mike stayed with one team and got six. They don't do that. That's why always they go say, okay, yeah, you got such and such. He's a great player, these guys are, but they're trying to, you know,
true.
Talk about the freedom. I mean, brothers have come a long way, but it's still, there's a part. It's some things that everybody's not, on a collective basis, everybody's not receiving that. I'm happy that we are doing certain things and all that, but there are a lot of things still aren't happening. We still, as far as generational wealth, we don't have, as far as jobs, as far as, you know, people making the progress that they should, you know, black folks just fall behind. It's not helpful. I mean, and you, and basically you're on your own. You are on your own. And like I said, the pandemic exposed all of that. And it's not really all about poverty. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to go ahead and finish up.
No, I was going to say that, you know, it's not who you have in office. Remember, we didn't been through the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas. What are you doing? You have to make adjustments. Like, I'm about to retire. March 31st, I'm done. I've had to make adjustments to the way I live my life. So depending on who is in office, I've always had to make adjustments in my life. And it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say, but whereas if I'm talking to some white dude who's mad at the world and he wants to kill Mike Pence because Mike Pence didn't do what he felt that what Trump told him he could do, that's a damn lie. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, as a black man, you would think I would be way more madder than he would. You ain't had to go through nothing that any brother or any black woman, you know, has had to go through. You know, you ain't had nobody judge you by the color of your skin. They ain't put together no negative propaganda about you. And as a matter of fact, all the people who actually started civil rights, the people really, that were black folks. And by it happened, then you had what? The Voting Rights Act. And then you had people being able to, you know, biracial, people being able to, you know, get married. Can you imagine we had there were actual people who voted against us having civil rights. You had people that voted against you, that whether, you know, women could vote, didn't want us to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't even want you to, you know, didn't, and was more worried about white folks and a black person getting married. But it's okay to rape a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do whatever you want.
White woman, you wanted to jail.
And the white woman got, brothers died because the white woman said she was raped, and they didn't care if it was true or not.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we've come a long way, but that's why Ron DeSantis does not want people. They want to control the narrative of going on with black education, because if you open that door, it'll take you right down that rabbit hole.
Well, that is why critical race theory has been shut down by many governors across the state. Of course, you know. The one in Florida, he's definitely saying, no, that's not going to be taught in the schools. And some people have some thoughts about it. But when I looked at it, when
one thing for sure. The issue is not critical race theory. The issue is black history, period, which is American history.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
They don't want the truth to be told. See, here's the thing. What they're saying is that all you're trying to do is make black folks hate white folks. All you're trying to do is brainwash the white kids. And no, it's just telling the truth. I go back to even when I've mentioned this on another show of where, and this is just minor, but really it's not, of where an alcohol beverage, okay, known as Jack Daniels, which is a popular beverage. You've seen it in movies, commercials, TV shows, jokes about it, everything. It took 150 years for them to admit that a black man created that mesh.
Yeah.
150 years. That family never got a dime and probably still haven't. You look at Black's Beach. What I want to say, not Black's Beach. What is the beach in L.A.?
Oh, Bruce's Beach.
Bruce Beach. I said Black's Beach. Black's Beach is that naked beach. But anyway, Bruce Beach. Okay.
Yep.
The family got the property back, but then they're going to sell it back to the city for something millions of dollars.
Am I correct?
They weren't leasing it out. But the thing
well,
is,
at least
and
the
that
governor
was
gave,
domain. Everything
the
was
governor did a
domain.
Good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You had so
Hold
many
on,
people
man.
Who lost their property. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Finish what you were saying.
I was saying that you've lost so many properties to eminent domain. Okay?
Correct.
That, I mean, there's 250 acres out in a part of California where they turned into a park and everything. It was just on CBS, and there was a black woman whose dad bought that land fair and square, and they through eminent domain, they took it from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now they said, what do you want? He said, I want my land back. You know, and all the trees was planted by her father. And they said, it's a beautiful area. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. See what I'm saying, Mike? If we open up that door, it opens the door to other stuff. That's why they don't want to talk about it. I don't need a theory.
Exactly.
They don't want people to know how
all
people have been wrong.
With the 1900s. We can start with the 1900s if we want. Where you want to start at? Start anywhere in
this
place.
They were even wrong in the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
So
okay.
Let me let Janet chime in real quick. What were you saying,
ahead,
Janet?
No, I just said they were even wronged in the 1900s. I mean, they don't want people to know how we have been taken advantage of. Blacks have been not just, you know, not all blacks, but blacks have been taken advantage of. And, you know, so you can't get rid of it. It's only three states. Florida is trying to do it, but Arkansas, it's three states that are, do you know the three states, Michael? That banned critical race theory.
Florida, I think Georgia too. I believe the governor here is banning it. He's very much against it. Kemp is very much against it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Kemp is very much against that. And their reason for it is that they claim it's going to make, you know, the kids dislike other kids. No, the truth, what do they say? The truth shall set you free. You
set
know,
you
so
free.
Just tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell the truth. Just say, hey, look, this is what my ancestors did. This is what happened. You know, sorry. You know, let's make it right. I would accept that more so than you continue to lie to me and not tell the truth. See, that would make me more upset.
You know that museum, Janet, that they built up there in Alabama? I think it's Alabama. That one lawyer had built where it has all those pillars of all the people who were lynched. You're talking anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 black people who were lynched in this country.
That's right.
And that's women and as women, men, and children. So
you
cannot,
know,
that's
a few
another
years
thing
ago
you don't,
in Georgia.
I can't hear both of you.
Say again. Go ahead, Janet.
No, I just said it was not too long ago in Georgia there was a lynching. You know, I mean, we haven't heard about anything lately, but they said Ahmaud Arbery, that was a modern lynching.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so, I mean, when you have stuff like that, that's why I was saying to some guys, whenever I talk to a lot of dudes who are, you know, if they do, they have discussions. They say, hey, can we stay? Ty, you always go back in history, man. You know, why can't we stay what's going on right today? I said, because history connects everything to whatever is going on even today.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
It's connected.
Let me do this, you guys, real quick. We have a few more minutes left, but I want to play this track, and then when I come back, we can wrap it up. I did say I want to play this. In honor of Mr. Burt Bacharach, y'all know I told you that he actually did Stephanie Mills' first album. And I want you to listen to this track. It's a soul type thing. And tell me if you think this sounds like you tell me what you think. Here's Stephanie Mills with I Took My Strength. And you listen to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show, here on the TMG and The Michael Gay Network. We'll be right back.
No. Y'all, this is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back, you guys. That's Stephanie Mills with a classic written by the late, great Mr. Burt Bacharach. What you all thought about
that? Was that the whole song?
Yeah, that was the whole song. It fades out like that. If you Google Stephanie Mills, you'll see the album cover. This was before. Now, Stephanie did have some work done herself, and you see a photo of her in a dress laying across a wall and everything. But check out the album. You can pull it up on YouTube. And interesting album. It really is. And like I said, it sounds like more of a theatrical play type music, I guess. But when you listen to it, I don't know, it has a different feel than what you used to Stephanie doing. But that's
what
awesome.
Was the name,
you know,
of that song?
The name of that song, I had to switch over to another screen. Hold on a minute. Let me see. What was it? I don't want to say the wrong name. Stephanie, I took my strength from you. Almost sound like a gospel song, you know? But that's what it's called. She has some great stuff on that album, to be honest. It's very well done, very well written and produced. Okay, so the time is now. I just added a few more minutes, but we're not going to do the whole thing. I just wanted to make sure we had time to go ahead and get on out of here. Your predictions for tomorrow's Super Bowl, everybody. Do you predict the Chiefs, the Eagles, a close game, bad calls, or a horrible halftime show or great halftime show featuring Rihanna? Those are the choices to answer.
Well, Kansas.
Kansas. Okay.
Yeah,
close game.
No, I'm hoping they'll blow the Eagles out of water.
I don't like blowouts because then I stop watching. If you're up by, 40 points or 30 points by halftime, it's over with. So, and halftime show, what's your thoughts on Rihanna's halftime show? You think it's going to be a great one or eh?
No, it's going to be a great one. She says she's going to do all of her songs.
Okay.
She's going to cram all those songs in that little short time. It's like 60 songs or more. So it's going to be interesting.
All right. That will be, well, there's going to be other folks on the stage, too, prior to her coming out, I think, and they're going to have a pre-concert thing. Tommy, what's your thoughts?
Going with Kansas City, and I hope it's a close game, you know, like you said. So, you know, and, you know, I haven't been really into the halftime shows unless it was Prince or Dre and all those guys. I've never seen,
right.
You know, I mean, wasn't, I think Janet Jackson them did it 1 year or whatever. Yeah. But hopefully it's going to be something nice.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you as far as the halftime. I hope it's going to be something nice. I don't think anything is going to beat Prince and Michael Jackson. You know, Michael Jackson was the first, actually, to do such a show for a Super Bowl. Prince, I mean, the timing for Purple Rain, for it to actually rain, that was not planned. It just happened when he did that particular song. So I think that is the most memorable one for me. As far as I'd like to see Mahomes win. But I just feel like the Eagles are going to pull this one out, and I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Both of them are great teams. I know they're going to battle it out, but I just feel like the Eagles are going to pull it out in a very tight game.
Well, I think those black quarterbacks has got to prove something, so. You know, that's why I'm going to root for him.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm rooting for, I mean, I don't have any skin in the game. You know, I'm like, you know, whoever wins. But I just feel like it's going to be in the Eagles' favor this Sunday. I just have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Just me. Okay. Hey, we got to get on out of here. Hey, you guys, thank you for listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on this Saturday. Coming up on the, I believe it's the 28th, is Cotton Campbell and the TMG, the ladies of TMG, with Let's Talk About It. And I believe they moved their time, or the days, to Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern time now. So that's great. So you got Saturday and Sunday with the TMG in family. All right, so make sure you check them out. Tune in. Last Sunday was a great conversation, and they always have something great to talk about. I really enjoyed listening. I don't chime in much. I pretty much try to sit in the background and listen, enjoy the show. So you guys, please support the ladies of TMGN, Cotton Campbell, and the show, Let's Talk About It. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you next Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. The Michael Gay Show. Thanks to my co-host, Janet Davis, and Mr. Timon Shipp, and Janet Pollock-Hawkins-Davis. All right, we're going to go. Talk to you next week. God bless. Good night. And here's the original.
God bless you. Take care.
And one of the original.